Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Thanksgiving wrap-up show. Well, we're not going to wrap anything up. It hasn't happened yet. We are going to preview all the games this weekend. There's about 1,000, and we're going to hit all of them. Yeah, let's do it. Mikey Meatballs, Fiddling with the Knobs, Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta Harry, Brother Bride Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
I am back from Oregon. We took my son, Archie, went on a little college tour. We did the orientation. He hasn't even gotten in yet. I hope he does. We went yesterday on the tour. Beautiful facility, beautiful campus. Saturday, we're at the game. Oregon upsets, slight upset because Bo Nix decided to play at the last minute. Good for Oregon. Good for us. They win 20-17. That place was loud. It was cold. And it was as loud as it was cold. I was wondering with you guys, what is the loudest arena you've been? I mean, before Saturday, I think my Aunt Chippy's Kitchen, like on a Tuesday in May, was probably the loudest environment I've been around. But Harry, you've been in a Carrier Dome. Is that going to be your answer? Well, actually, you are at Michigan, Ohio State, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Neither of those, Sal. I'm going to say, probably 10, 12 years ago, went for the Giants when I was a Giants fan. Remember when I was a Giants fan? Went for the Giants versus the Seahawks in Seattle. And it was beautiful day that day. Buck and Aikman were doing the game and it was loud. Like Eli had like 12 false starts by the offensive line. Couldn't get anything in rhythm. They were down like 30 at halftime. And I got my Tiki Barber jersey on. I'm just getting ridiculed all over the place because the Seahawks just crushed the Giants from the get-go.
Yeah, people were loud because they were yelling at you. That's why it seemed loud. I often wonder, again, why Buck and Aikman doing the game has anything to do with my question of how loud a stadium was. But you have your reasons. Yeah, I've been in Seattle. It is loud. I was there for a Monday game. I don't remember who was calling the game. So I'm disqualified from that conversation. Parlay Kid, what about you? Is it like a Dayton gym? I know that gets
Dayton too. Can get crazy, but I say per capita, I'd say Nassau Coliseum. By that place when it's good, it's probably the loudest place. Probably the acoustics there help. I'd say the game I was with Mikey Meatballs, the last game ever in Nassau Coliseum against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nassau Coliseum per capita. I think Sal also, Jim Leyritz's walk-off home run. 1995 as well, when we were in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
That was a big time. One. For me personally, I mean, those two events were the loudest crowds I've ever witnessed.
Brother Bry, you're at both of those, right?
Well, that Yankee Stadium one was crazy. And even if you go back and watch the highlights of that game, it was crazy. I will say, Harry, though, he was just telling us before we got on this that he's been to European soccer games, right? I mean, I would imagine that those stadiums are as loud as what he said.
Yeah, it's just the chanting. It's the chanting and singing more than the loudness. I don't know.
All right. Well,
it depends how loud it is. Yeah.
I will say, the as crazy as it
they're
sounds,
chanting under their breath. It's not what it seems to be. Yeah.
Crazy as it sounds. And Parlay Kid was here for this, but I think the loudest arena that I was in general was the Garden. Well, we used to go to boxing all the time, but the Garden when Trinidad fought Joppy, William Joppy was the fight before Trinidad fought Hopkins at the Garden too. Trinidad fought William Joppy. The crowd there was insane for that whole fight. It couldn't have been louder. Like if you go back and watch it too, it's just phenomenal. Right. And even when we saw Mosley Cotto there too at the Garden, that crowd was insane.
The days. Jeez.
I guess you have to separate it between open air stadiums and arenas, right? Like arenas could get loud with just 9,000 people, right? But really, this Oregon thing, when Utah had the ball, it was just, and I think a lot of it is just for people just to stay warm. First of all, they stood, good job by the crowd, for the entire game. No one sat. And they're just jumping up and down and screaming. And I really do think it's like a kind of a tool to get you to warm you up. But anyway, good job. And Eugene, that was a fun trip. Hey, wow, this World Cup, Argentina, it would have been nice to be able to see the game. Argentina loses after Messi's goal. I think it was 25-1 that the Saudis would win, but it was 120-1 on Caesars after Messi's goal about 10 minutes in. Harry, you didn't watch, right? You're up at all crazy times.
Usually I am, yeah, but I didn't watch it all. But that is like, I guess anything can happen now that we just saw that just in the second day of the tournament, basically. Crazy.
Yeah. I am on this over 4.5 nil-nil finals. Actually, not even finals, because it goes throughout the whole tournament. And within 90-minute regulation, if it's nil-nil, I win. I need 5 of those, over 4.5 at even odds. I already have 2, Bri. Yeah, already two in.
Back to back.
Really good.
Scoring too. That's really good.
People get on me like, oh, that's no fun. You bet don't pass and craps. You bet no buzzer beaters in basketball. But when it's right in front of you, like if it's rained 30 straight days in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm going to bet that it's going to rain the next 5 days, like people are like, oh, just root for sunshine. Like, no, I'm going to root for what's going to happen. These nil-nil games. Now, there's not going to be a nil-nil in this France, Australia, as the Aussies are on the board 1-0. But anyway, Harry, you're not betting this week, right? So you're just watching?
Just watching. Well, I will say this.
You will say what?
Before I left, I'm currently in Hollywood, California right now. So I can't bet on my Caesars app. And yesterday, before I left, I guess we could decide this right now. Before I left, Caesars had a special World Cup prop.
I've already decided. You said you were going to bet.
If you bet $25, here's the thing. If you bet $25 and you have at least a four-leg parlay, and you have one loser,
yeah,
you get your $25 back.
Of course, that'd be perfect.
That's still a bet.
Sorry. Yeah, of course,
it's $25. But if you lose, they automatically pay you back no matter what. So it's really not a bet.
Oh, wait, I thought you said you got to get 3 of 4.
Yeah,
That's a different one they have. This one is $25 parlay, 14.
Did you do the 3 for 4? Because that's a bet.
Yeah, I did that a week ago. So I did that a week ago because it was available. This one is $25. And if you lose, you get $25 back.
But you're still rooting for a result. You're rooting for a result to cash out, right?
Yep. Right. And Megan already blasted you because you have Creighton for this tournament. Unless you didn't bet it.
She's wrong because I bet that for her and I last week.
Yeah. But I did like her response. That's like
that was
saying,
a good one.
Oh, I got the ice cream in the freezer. I felt like she's actually listening on your conversations. Well, I already bought the ice cream.
You got me on that one. That was all good. That was good.
Hey, listen, this is Babyface. What do you think of this? Does that count as a bet or not for Harry?
Oh my God. This is like me fasting on Passover. You know, I say I'm going to do it, then I last 1 hour. Come on. It's over.
Yeah, there you go. Harry, maybe you should turn Jewish. It's a good time for that. All right, let's do it. Staff leaderboard, biggest winner for last week, Hench, Brother Bri, Jen, 9-3-1. Biggest loser, Megan Conley, Megan Gelly, 5-7-1. Will Blackman and I at 8-4-1. Eddie, Harry, Dave, and the Parlay Kids, 7-5-1. Martin, 6-6-1. So what does it all mean? Probably nothing to anybody, but Brother Bri's in first place. Hench is 1 game behind. Harry is 3 games behind. Our prop quiz winner, Mike Beckwith, 5 right. He gets the gold cap. The pick'em winner, Kevin McDonald, 12 right. 12? My God.
Good wow. Yeah.
12.
Come on.
Gets $100.
Come on. How am I supposed to win anything if this is happening? I know. It's almost true. Like somebody's able to get into our system after and like put these picks in. I mean, those are crazy.
Well, we know our guy.
Crazy numbers.
Yeah, we know our guy Josh, who calls us on the Spotify Live, is definitely able to get into the system. Somehow does it. He's at least able to check out my picks, which he goes against every single week. I forgot to keep track. I wanted to see how he did. 4-1. But anyway, Monday Night Football. Hey, let's celebrate here. I hit a first touchdown pick.
Yes.
Brandon Ayuk, plus 575. I went 4 for 4. I had Jimmy G, the longest completion over 36.5, I believe it was. I had the Niners. I had the over. I think we all did well with our prop. Well, who lost the prop, right?
I got the prop, but I was wrong on the game. No.
What'd you have? 38-10 final.
No, I had the Kittle prop over, which one?
Oh, that was
great. He doubled that. But no, I had the Cardinals and I had the under. So that was
terrible. Yeah. And Harry, what was your prop?
I got there. Barely. I got ahead McCaffrey over 104 and a half rushing and receiving yards combined. I think he had 106. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right. France just tied it there. And Parley Kid, what did you have? You had you had Ayuk over receptions, or was that?
Yeah. He had two touchdowns.
Two for two touchdowns.
Under his reception total. It's probably the first time I haven't hit a player prop in quite some time. But I had the game at the 49ers and I had the over. So
they're scary, Parley Kid. They're a scary team.
That's what I said yesterday. I fear them the most. Yep.
And they could take McCaffrey, whatever. He might still get injured, but he could take like a quarter off, half a quarter off. They could, they had one drive or two drives where they just went Mitchell three in a row. Now I know they were killing the clock a little bit, but they look damn good.
Was very smart. That was very smart doing the Mitchell here and there too. Worked out perfect.
And he's effective too. They're
and Kittle, finally a Kittle sighting too.
-370 to the Niners to win that division. I was looking at the Rams 150-1. Entering week 12.
Seattle's what?
Seattle's plus 270. I know they're in second. So, and they have your Raiders, Bri. So I don't know what that means.
Well, what does that mean? We're parlaying the 49ers with what?
I feel like I have them already. 49ers and Bucks.
Okay.
Is -175.
Okay. What else can we add?
You can add
the time frame, by the way. 4-0 in the division and beats
the Titans or what?
Titans makes it 145.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to touch the Ravens.
No, I probably wouldn't touch the Ravens. Cincinnati.
Tennessee with San Fran is good.
Throw the Chiefs on there is -137. I don't know.
That's good.
Somewhere in there.
Barely moving the needle.
Come on. How does that lose? All right, we're going to get into the games. We are going to talk about the Titans. Let's do Thanksgiving games. Buffalo at Detroit. The Lions catching 9.5 now and 54.5. Let me check this. It might be 9.5 and 54. Not that it matters too much. It is 9.5 and 54 right there. Harry, start us off. You like the over. You're not taking any teams today. You're just going over under. I mean, we put this out. I'm like, all right, everybody bet. He's going over under on everything. He really is like he's like the snobbish guy that like drinks martinis and doesn't even like them. But go ahead. Let's hear why the over. Yeah.
I just don't really have a feel for the game and any of these games that we're gonna go over today. So I do have a feel here for the over at 54.5. Bills offense, 30 points last 2 weeks, and Buffalo averaged 30 points a game in the three meetings versus the NFC. Teams they played this year, NFC East and NFC teams they played this year. Sorry, Detroit is flying high and fun to watch. I mean, currently first 3-game winning streak, Sal, in 5 years. They've scored 31 points back-to-back weeks and can't stop Detroit. I don't think Detroit can stop Buffalo's offense that much. And Detroit is good enough to keep up with the Bills' balanced offense. I think they this game goes into the 60s.
I have it 27-22. Lions aren't as terrible as everyone says on Thanksgiving.
No,
five in a row. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, you're right. I think they're, like I said the other day, they should have probably two or three more wins than they have, but they're very competitive and they're scoring points. Goff has been good.
Yeah. I'm talking about Thanksgiving in general. Everybody wants them off their TV, but they've four of the last five were one score games. No David Blau situation here. Right. And I do think if you look back, the Bills have not played a great whole complete game in about a month. We saw they didn't have to play the second half against the Packers. They were miserable against the Vikings down the stretch there. Even last week, the slow start, I don't trust them. I somehow trust Dan Campbell 17-9 against the spread as an underdog. And the Lions themselves are 7-2 against the number in the last nine home. And they run the ball, the Lions. I think they could stay with it, really. Yep. Like the 1-2 combo with Williams and Swift. We talked about him having 12 touchdowns and 300-1 odds preseason. But they had 160 rushing yards against the Giants. And I think there's a little bit of that. This is our home field. We're going to win. We're going to maybe not win, but 27-22. I think it keep it close. All right, let's take a break. And then, Parley Kid, we have to do this. Cowboys and Giants. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Cowboys, 9-point favorite over the Giants. 45.5 is the over under. This one went up. Parlay kid, I could see, you know, I said on extra points, like you look at a team the week before and they're playing a team that was terrible the week before. Like the Giants were awful last week. The Cowboys could not have been better. So they jacked this up to 9. And I'm a little worried because Saquon Barkley could just go nuts. And then this is a game, right? He could have 30 carries and 170 yards. And we know he's capable of that. And then the Cowboys probably not going to cover, but that said, I like us 28-16. We do actually cover that number. What do you like?
Yes, Sal, actually close to my score at 31-17 here. Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still look, I know we've heard Giants fans, talk about their injuries that they have, but that's football, right? So this Giants team is a well-coached team, though. Dable's going to have them prepared on a short week. You don't have to prepare as much, too, because you know your opponent here maybe a little bit better than you normally would in a non-conference game. They know the Cowboys very well. They've already have a scout on them, even though now Dak is back. And, look, technically, this is really against what I would normally do, right? Dallas coming off a big win, Giants coming off a bad loss. I usually feel like, but it's a short week, right? And the Cowboys are home. I know they're traveling back from Minnesota, but that's got to help them. Now, look, we know, Sal, they've lost their last 4 out of 5 Thanksgiving. We're not even talking about they haven't covered the spread. They have lost 4 out of their last 5. And I would probably have to say in 4 of those 5 games, they were the favorite in those games. I'm thinking it's probably the case, right? So they haven't, for some reason, played well on Thanksgiving. I never understand it because they should have a big advantage here playing in the home stadium on Thanksgiving. They haven't. I think that changes this year. Jones scares me with his legs a little bit too, Sal. Like you talked about Saquon. Kind of like Jones, he's a threat. He's not Justin Fields level threat with his legs, but He's a threat who can make plays happen. That's why the Cowboys getting off to a lead here and making the Giants play from behind is huge for both of us. That's what has to happen here. Make the Giants get out of their comfort zone. Make Jones have to throw the ball playing from behind. We make some sacks. We pick a ball or two off. Dallas covers this maybe late, 31-17.
All right. I like that number. Yeah, Micah Parsons is just in on too many plays. I mean, like he's more than a third of the snaps result in a pressure, and then good things after that. Strip sacks left and right. He is the odds-on favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. Cowboys 7-3 against the spread, 10-1 against the Giants straight up in the last 11. If they don't cover, it's not the end of the world. I do worry, Parlay Kid. That is a big fact. The injuries are the equalizer here in terms of a not being a close game, because they do have the better coach. I think Dable will have them prepared 3 days rest. The Cowboys have not looked prepared ever on Thanksgiving, really, as far as I remember. But anyway, they are the better team.
Let's not sleep on McCarthy here. I think he's better than we've given him credit for. He is 22-9. All right. And his last 31 games as a Cowboys coach.
See on the short rest, though. This is the kind of thing.
Well, look, it's ironic. Yeah. Cowboys out of a bye week have been bad, right? Uh-huh. And in this Thanksgiving Day game, they've been bad. It's mind-boggling the times that they're bad. But we get it this week. Sal, this team, this is a different team. I'm telling you, this is a focused team, Sal.
I am betting Saquon over 76.5 because I really think that's the only way we lose this, or that it's close.
I like that.
That he breaks that.
Makes sense.
I really do.
That makes sense.
But I do
a lot of injuries on the Giants side. No.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, Adoree
enough of that.
No, listen, the leading receiver too, Darren, and Adoree Jackson, who's been fantastic this year. It's a lot. Your center.
I'm pretty sure the Cowboys beat the Giants. Did they beat them without Gallup?
Backup. Quarterback.
No, I'm just saying. I don't know. It's their number two receiver.
Yeah. I did mention on extra points, the winner should get Odell Beckham. You put him on a platter like the turducken, and he's there, and he's got his arms moving. Like, that's it. That's the trophy. Yeah. Winner gets Odell. And then we don't have to worry about a guy like Gallup and if he's producing. All right. New England at Minnesota. This last time I checked was 2.5 and 42.5. And Harry said, you know what? That's the best thing that could happen to him, getting blown out by the Cowboys, because now everybody's sleeping on them. And guess who's sleeping on them? Harry is sleeping on them because he just switched his pick from Minnesota minus 2.5 to yet another under. Mr. Snob has to pick the under in this game. Can't even trust his Vikings against a Patriots team that didn't score last week. But go ahead. You got him just where you want him.
Yeah, I do. I thought about it this morning, and I kind of like the under more than I like Minnesota in this contest. I'm going to go under the 42.5. The Pats, look, the Pats defense is the real deal. Second in sacks, fourth in picks in the league. Since that Monday night debacle against the Bears, they've given up just 23 total points over three games, and just two field goals over the last two games. Five of the last six games, New England's given up 17 points or less. And this Minnesota defense, I know they got worked against Dak and Dallas on Sunday. Like I said, it was all predetermined, kind of, for the most part. But so they took a free week off from Minnesota, where they didn't play any defense. I think they had zero sacks, zero forced turnovers against Dallas. I expect Kendricks and Jordan Hicks and the rest of the defense to fix things versus a very subpar offense in New England. And I'm going to take the under 42.5.
What's the final?
Minnesota 20. New England, 13.
All right. I mean, it seems like you would take the team that you thought took the week off last week. Your favorite team is going to look good.
Understood.
Kirk Cousins, understood. Chains and everything. New England can't score.
But right. But they do now with them losing and the Eagles winning. So Eagles still have basically a two-game lead over Minnesota in the division.
Yeah.
Conference. Yeah. And Minnesota's already got a stranglehold on the North.
All right. So. Well, you let us know which games count and which don't for the Vikings, but you'll keep us informed, right? When they need to step
it up. 2013 Vikings win.
Okay. All right. I'm going New England here. Sorry. 6-1 against the spread in their last seven. 6-3-1 on the year. I think Harry's right about their defense. It's underrated. It's undervalued. You know, all the talk of that Jet game was how they couldn't get the offense going. I think Mac Jones has been serviceable. He's as good as a lot of the quarterbacks out there. He doesn't make mistakes. And I think that's what you're going to have to do against this Minnesota team. And you know what? I think Belichick is the kind of guy who has a team prepared after 3 days. And Patriots have to keep winning to make it to the playoffs. And so they will. 26-23. Yeah. I'm going over. Ooh. And the Patriots. Sorry there, Harry. Let's talk Sunday. Yeah. Well, you know, there's not going to be a ton of weather and, you know, stupid things happen in these Thursday games. So I would say that there's going to be some kind of weird thing, right? I haven't looked at last year's. There was an upset. Well, the Cowboys always seem to lose on Thanksgiving, as the Pauly kid pointed out. But you got a couple of these 9-point favorites. It's likely that something's going to be weird on the Thanksgiving game. Brian, we finally get to you. Cincinnati at Tennessee. The Bengals are favored on the road against the division leading Tennessee Titans. Well, I've not liked all year. Now I've come around on it because this Vrabel just gets it done. 42.5 is the over under, but you're going with the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bengals. Look, I benefited from the Titans this season. I've taken them. I feel like almost every week they've covered 8 straight. They've been fantastic getting pressure on the quarterbacks. But look, the Bengals too have been great against the spread. They're 7-3. But I think the Bengals just have a little too much offense in this one. And I don't think the Titans are going to score a ton here. You know, the Titans, you know, even though the Titans defensively have been great, they still are one of the worst teams in the league against the pass, although they're going to pressure the quarterback. And I could see this being a total repeat of what we saw in the divisional round last year. You know, the Bengals won 19-6. Burrow had a great game, although he was sacked 9 times. They still won that game, even though he was sacked 9 times. I could see a very similar situation playing out. I like Cincy to win. I think this is very close, but I like Cincy to win by a field goal here.
I agree with everything the Parlay Kid was saying yesterday about Burrow is one of the greats, definitely second tier. You put Mahomes in a class by himself. Burrow's right up there. He could do it with Sammy P. Ryan and no Jamar Chase in there, throwing a receivers no one's ever heard of, in addition to T. Higgins and Boyd. But I think there is payback for the playoffs here. They're just a weird team. I don't think they're the team that lost to the Browns on Halloween, but I could see that happening this time on the road, hostile environment. Browns went for 170 against them on the road. I see a similar showing. Can't say enough about Vrabel. He's covered 8 of the last 9. 27-20 is what I have it in favor.
Yeah, I think they said
it's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, we don't know the status of Mixon. There is talk that Chase could be back this week, though, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what the status is of him either.
That's a good one. That's a fun one. Green Bay at Philly Sunday night. The Eagles, let me check on this. I saw 7-46.5 was the last, and now it is 7-46.5. Remains the same. Doesn't look like Jordan Davis is in there again. That's a big thing. They gave up 420 yards on the ground the last 3 games.
Yeah.
And now LaFleur has 10 days to prepare. I'll tell you what, Parlay Kid, not only do I like the Packers to cover, but they win. I think Aaron Rodgers is sick of losing on national television. And now that you can run on the Eagles, it's a whole different ball game. And we saw some cracks in that team. Give me 26-21 Packers win in Philly.
Wow, I like this. I like what you're saying here, Sal. I'm just going to take the Packers with the points. I'll take the 7 points there. The Eagles, even though they're sitting at 9-1, they're 5-5 against the spread so far this season, Sal. So they've played some closer than you think ball games here at times. Like you're saying, I'm just not at the point of my betting life where I want to go against Rodgers. Yeah. Getting 7 points. I'm just not at that point yet. Maybe in 2 or 3 weeks I might be there. Maybe by next year. I just think it's too much for a guy who's an all-time great, still has a lot left in the tank. Watson is improving by the week now as a receiver. He's becoming more and more of a weapon for him. Like you said, they should be able to run the ball here and ground and pound with Jones and Dillon. So I think things are shaping up here. What is going to be a very close game. Plus, don't forget, Packers on extra rest here, Sal. Could be a factor here. Rodgers getting an extra few days to rest and prepare for this Eagles team is certainly going to help him and his young teammates. This is the Packers' last stand right here, Sal.
They got to. Well, the defense has to play better too. They can't.
Defense
roll over
has
like
not
that.
Been good. It has not been good. Especially in the last game, especially against the Titans, that was a lackluster performance. But maybe that was the result of a short week, Sal. Now they've had some rest, recovering, a little bit more prep time. They keep this one close. You're saying they win. I say they cover. Let's go, Packers.
All right. I accidentally brought up the fact that the Eagles are wearing the alternate black helmets. Damn, a check. And then we had to do 20 extra minutes on that game. But not a fan. All right. Let's take another break. And big college games coming up. Two of them, Notre Dame, USC, Michigan, Ohio State, when we return. Let's do Notre Dame, USC first. This is 5.5 now, Bri, and 62.5. Yeah. Oh, yep. Man. We saw this in the 3.5 range. Our very own Eddie Spaghetti, he's not on here right now. He has been in enemy territory a bunch this year. He went to Seattle to see the Giants lose to the Seahawks. He went to, he's going to Crypto tonight, Harry, right? You're going Rangers Kings.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Dealing with a hostile crowd there. And then he's going to LA Memorial Coliseum to watch his Irish take on USC. This is a great one of the best rivalries where the region is in a consideration. Irish are on a nice run, 35 or more in each of the last five games. I just think the 5.5 is too much, Bri. Which way are you going?
I'm taking Notre Dame here again in the 5.5. It's hard to figure out both these teams. Both teams seem to play down to competition, right, or play well against the good teams. But I like Notre Dame here, especially if they're a really emotional win by the Trojans against UCLA. But if Notre Dame plays their best, they can definitely win this game. I mean, USC has been pretty bad defensively. They struggled giving up points to Cal. They struggled against Arizona. And then, of course, games like UCLA and Utah, they gave up a ton of points. So I think Notre Dame's going to be able to run the ball in this game. Notre Dame has the better defense of the two teams. They'll be able to slow down Caleb Williams, I think, just enough to keep this close. So I'm going to take Notre Dame getting the 5.5.
Yeah.
I think it's high scoring, though, too. I do think it's high scoring.
Well, they do run. Boy, I looked at that Navy game. That's otherwise, they really would have been on a roll. And I know Navy scored late to make that close, but they had 280 rushing against BC, 270 against Clemson. That Logan Diggs is very good. And there's something crazy, like 15-5 against this spread in the last 20 November games, 4-1 against the number versus a team with a winning record. So I don't know. Maybe USC is looking. Harry, is this a sandwich game? UCLA last week, Pac-12 championship next week. Obviously important in the playoff perspective, but I kind of like the points. Even if Notre Dame has to cover late, I could see it going.
Should be a great game, but I don't think sandwich game at all. It's Caleb Williams after his game last week against UCLA. The interview, he was pumped up, ready for this week too. Said he was a laser focus, and he's been fantastic. And like we said, he might be the Heisman.
All right, Babyface is saying every game is a sandwich game for Harry. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You didn't actually say that. That was me. All right, Michigan at Ohio State. Harry, you were in the big house last year. You saw this. This is the big one. Ohio State 7.5 and 57. Start us off here. Both schools looked like crap last week. They're talking about looking ahead. Ohio State needed the fourth quarter to beat the average Maryland team. They ended up doing it by double digits after the dumb last play of the game. Michigan needed every single ounce and every second to beat Illinois at home. Again, give him a pass. But Blake Corum, some are saying he's not playing at all, even though he's handing out turkeys yesterday. Harry, of course, can't take a team. He has to go with the under. So get that out of the way.
I am. I'm going to go under 57. Weather should be rainy in Columbus, but temperatures around 45, 50 should be fine. Wolverines struggled, like you mentioned, Sal, last week to put points on the board against Illinois. McCarthy just 187th in the NCAA in passing yards. Defensively, though, they have been spectacular all season. They've allowed more than 17 points just once all season. That was versus a decent Maryland team that we saw last week give the Buckeyes all it could handle. Buckeyes also defensively have not allowed more than 21 points by a visiting opponent all season. Two heavyweights here. I think it's a tremendous matchup, but I think defenses tighten up in the red zone. Neither team, I'm going to make a call here, neither team reaches 28 points. Love the under here.
Interesting. Ohio State averages 46 a game. I don't know. I look at these and this is not, it's only been a one score game once in the last seven meetings. Like as good as this rivalry is, as close as these teams are, this is not usually a close game, parlay kid, but you're taking Michigan.
Yes. Well, look, part of my heart's really into this Michigan team right now, being that I have them from a ticket before the season at 55-1 to win the national championship. So, I could do a little hedging, I guess, with this game if I wanted to, right? Could I do that? You guys are the hedge masters. I'm not really a hedge.
Cowboys, Ohio State, money line.
You know what I mean?
Got it right down to minus 160.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, no, Sal, Harry mentioned that this Michigan defense has been superb this year. Haven't given up more than 17 points in every game, in any game, except that Maryland game that Harry did mention. So they've held some pretty productive Big Ten offenses, 17 points or under. They like to pound the ball, which obviously helps keep games closer. Maybe they have long drives. Whether Corum's there or not, I mean, he's certainly going to, you want him there, but I think they'll find a way to rush that ball anyway. Their QB play has been better than it's this year than it's been in past years. Not exceptional, but they take what the defense gives them. They're not going to probably throw the ball too much downfield, short dump off passes. Really try to keep Ohio State's offense off the field here. Mm. I think this game comes down to like the last drive for Ohio State to win or lose here. Wow. I'm going to say Ohio State pulls it out 31-27, however, but Michigan covers. I'm a winner and a loser at the same time.
I like Ohio State to get. I know they slow starts a little bit in the last four games or so, three of the last four, but I think they get on them early. And then McCarthy has to make a big throw. And then injured or not, Blake Corum, that's 1,450 yards. You got to replace if he's not in there or if he's playing on a bum knee. That Stroud Marvin Harrison Jr. combination is as good as any out there. I'm saying, Bri, 39-22, because these games are not typically close, but you're taking Michigan.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys are both going over here too. I kind of like Harry's under. You know, if last year didn't happen, I mean, every year, because I grew up a Michigan fan. That's who I like growing up as a kid. But every year I've been betting against Michigan. I've been taking Ohio State, but you know, last year it just seemed like Harbaugh found the right magic, right? And you know, he's continuing it into this season. Now, again, we don't know the status of Corum, which is big, but at their best, these teams this season have been about even, right? I think Michigan's beatdown of Penn State that Harry was at was probably the most impressive of any win from either of these two teams so far. Michigan has been the better defense, even though Ohio State's been very good defensively too. Michigan's been the better team defensively. I think they're able to keep this close. I think they might jump, you know, they might even take a little bit of a lead. I'm thinking the opposite of you, Sal. They might take a little bit of a lead early and then Ohio State comes back the end to maybe win a close one, but I'm going to take the 7.5 here.
Going to be fun. Going to be a fun one. All right. Let's do it. Harry has to throw another under at us. So you want to do Sharp Tank? This is where you three pick a game and I have to jump on one of you and actually buy that bet. Harry, you have something for the weekend?
Yeah.
Not betting this week, by the way, Harry. Not betting.
So not betting, but this is, for Wednesday. Yeah. This is for Wednesday for Sharp Tank. Two-team World Cup parlay. I am going to take it -200. My team that I think is going to win it, that I gave out last week, I'm going to take Belgium -200 against Canada. Right. And I'll tell you what, after what we saw from Saudi Arabia, anything can happen here. Why not at +600, Spain, who's missing, they're a couple of the best players are not on this team. For whatever reason, they were not picked by the coaches for this team. We're playing against Costa Rica. I'm going to take +600 on the draw. So +600 draw there with Belgium -200 against Canada.
All right. What does that come out to? You don't know.
I don't know what that is.
It's weird to take a -200.
Yeah, right.
It is. I know.
Draw. You'll be giving them enough.
But it's probably what
I'm not Belgium, so I'm rolling with Belgium.
What is it? Minus 200.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. When you're not betting, you don't really care about this stuff. So you don't even bother trying to figure out the top of my head,
it says plus 950.
All right, Harry, maybe you could figure that out in the meantime as Bri gives his pick, Sharp Tank pick.
Well, I have a weird one. I'm actually going to go. I was looking at, I love this weekend in college football. They're all the rivalry games. So they're fun, usually competitive games. And again, this is weird. I'm going to take Florida getting 9.5 against Florida State. It's crazy when you look at this, right? That two ACC teams are huge favorites this week, right? Florida State's a huge favorite against Florida. You have Clemson's an even bigger favorite against South Carolina. You know, when you compare the two conferences, you know, you obviously everybody, you know, how much better the SEC is just in general. But, you know, look, Florida's coming off an awful loss against Vanderbilt, which was terrible. I believe I lost a little bit of money there somewhere on a money line parlay. But prior to that, they'd been playing solid. You know, they had a couple of decent wins prior to that. And look, Florida State has played really well the last four games. They've won four blowouts, right? Georgia Tech, Miami, Syracuse, and Louisiana. But, you know, they got Syracuse on the back end after a couple of bad losses. Miami's been terrible in general. And, you know, we saw what what Georgia Tech did last week, but I think that was just kind of a fluky game. You know, this Florida State team still has losses to Clemson, NC State, Wake Forest. I think Florida just their pride, I think, will kick in a little bit here. 9.5, I think, is just way too much. I think we're overrating Florida State a little bit here. So I'm going to take the 9.5.
All right. Parlay Kid, is there no UFC card for the next two weekends or am I just?
No, next week.
Just this weekend. There's
yeah. Okay, next weekend, they're back. Sal, I think you guys, Mikey Meatball, my apologies beforehand because this could be a five-team money line parlay, Sharp Tank. So you're going to have to fit that in the graphics somehow.
Get your own graphic.
Well, look, I deserve to do this because I've been hitting my Sharp Tanks lately. Many of my picks have been very good. And last week, you know, say what you want. I don't care what people say. Oh, taking these teasers and so winner's a winner, right? That's the bottom line.
If you can win with them, it's just, it's tough for me.
You guys can have fun trying to figure out which one of these five teams will blow it for me. I won't go crazy here giving you any analysis. It's just five here, couple right away on Thanksgiving. So we're going to go with the Buffalo Bills to win. I know you like the lines to cover, but Bills just too much talent. They're not going to, they might not lose for the rest of the year at this point. Kansas City Chiefs, as you said, really just throwing them in there for kicks. They're not really adding much value to this, but what the heck? That's what we do. The Miami Dolphins, the Dallas Cowboys, and the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
Plus 126. 126 here, Sal, on a money line parlay. All huge, heavy favorites. You know you love this stuff, Sal. You're probably going to add like three more teams to this.
I'll have some variation with that. With like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
By the way,
my
parlay does, Sal. My parlay does pay +950. Bri was right on. And my extra points pick today already won in the 32nd minute. With this Australia-France game going over 2.5.
Well, that's interesting because Ben Kelly, who's your tormentor online, says, why isn't Harry bragging about his video picks, his last 10 video picks? So he must be watching closely.
Supposedly he hit one parlay and it's bragging all over Twitter, so it's stupid.
So what? Okay. All right. But he's not making videos, right?
I don't need to brag. Sorry.
Let's talk real quick. England-US. Bri, you hit on England, Wales. You're hitting on a couple of these draws, right? What was it, 2-1?
Well, U.S. Wales, I had 2-1. I had the Mexico game plus 260 on the draw. I didn't bet Tunisia, Denmark. I bet Tunisia not to score, which was good.
You and Brett Cormanos had the draw for Wales and U.S. What's your feeling for this this London game, this England game, Black Friday?
I'm going to say this is 2-0 England.
2-0 England. All right. I am going to say, well, Harry, you want to jump in?
I was going to say 3-0 England after what they did. They put up 6 against Iran and Harry Kane didn't even score.
Yeah. I'm going to say 1-0 England. Yeah. Thought we played pretty good defense. And but more important, I'm going to bet no goals at plus 950 and one goal at plus 390. So I'm going to take both of those.
Like that.
Parlay kid, you don't care. What are you going to? You'll watch this Parlay kid. Come on. Yeah,
guys, USA all the way, right? That's it.
All right.
I do have some money on. Who did I bet? I had those bets put in. I got to look them up.
Well, do you have that? You maybe have England qualified.
Toby's picks. Whatever Toby had, yeah. I put in.
Toby also told me Raheem Sterling was garbage pick at 50-1 for the most goals. He's already scored once.
He might have to do better than that.
One goal could win it. It could win it.
No, well, what it's interesting is
good start.
They did talk about it on Covered in Glory about a lot of these golden boot winners. You got which team takes the, you know, you could designate who takes the penalty kick, right? It's not the guy who's been knocked over or allegedly knocked over or whatever. So you could have Messi take all your penalty kicks for you. He doesn't necessarily have to.
I hate that in soccer.
That they could.
The guy who gets fouled should have to take the kick.
Absolutely. But, you know, Harry Kane is for England for scoring, like I said, not a goal, and they had six. He's a guy to look out for if you still want to bet in game on that too, because he takes all England's penalty kicks. Harry Kane does.
What is right? I'm trying to think if they have the golden boot in the middle of this golden boot. Harry Kane. What was he, Harry, to start? Six something?
Eight.
He's 13-1 now.
Yeah.
So and even Messi's 8-1, and they could be out of there.
What's Raheem Sterling now?
Sterling is what was he?
50.
No, he's 33. So go ahead, do a victory lap.
No, not yet.
This is what Harry does. This most of his life is based on him taking 50-1 long shots and then being like, oh, and then he goes to 33-1 and celebrates. Hey. Really? Think about it. Think about all the times you've done that.
Hooker lasted longer than I thought, right?
I know that was good. Damn. And when I realized how much I had on it, I couldn't even bet against you. I couldn't even bet against you. Babyface, what do you think about this?
I mean, World Cup brings up like heritage and like, do we even know what Harry's heritage is, or is it like parts unknown, like a wrestler?
Oh, don't ask him. Do you know Harry? What's your heritage?
Anything goes in a swig from a if you're from a swig in New York.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
we should get Harry tested. Did we talk about that once before? The 23andMe.
23andMe. Yeah. Get him on there, Harry. What do you think you are? Besides broke. What nationality do you know? Don't try to be funny. What do you actually think? What do you know?
I'm part French. I'm part Polish. Yeah.
You're part French? Yeah. Really?
Gagnon.
Gagnon is a French name. Yeah.
But I would have guessed last. I would have absolutely. Babyface, you love this that he's French.
I don't like. I don't like the French. Like I don't want to.
Snobbish French guy. Never want to go. Never
to no interest to go to Paris. Ever.
Why? Go check out your heritage, Harry.
No, thanks.
No?
You don't even like French dressing.
No interest in French.
He declared French after he
French toast is good.
Fries.
French toast
and
good,
fries. Too. Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we have Mr. Lister tonight with Dave Damashek, the sports trivia show right there. Lemon Pepper Parlay -3 waiver wire. Check it all out. Megan Fun of Sports Covered in Glory. Get all your soccer needs taken care of. And we're going to call it a week. That's going to do it. You guys playing football on Thanksgiving or anything cool?
No, I went to the doctor yesterday because I hurt my knee like 2 weeks ago. I sprained my MCL. So I will not be.
Oh, no.
I will not be playing.
Playing soccer? Is that what you said?
No, just walking. Oh. Walking.
How did you do that?
I turned. I did nothing. It felt like I ripped my knee off.
That means you did something at work.
Yeah. It's tough, Sal. It's tough. It's cold here. It's like, it's just different now when you get
old. Michael's probably playing with it.
Michael, I think the boys have football and
hockey. What are you doing, Michael? You going down tomorrow to the Glen, the field?
We got roller hockey.
They play roller hockey.
You put the sharp tank?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I guess I got to go Darren's because I'm going to have a combination of that five teamer. Yeah. There you go. So I'm going to go with Darren's five teamer. Was it San Francisco, KC, Dallas, Bills. Yeah,
and you certainly totally forgot Harry's already anyway. So you wouldn't even, was,
I don't know, Harry.
I apologize. I'm lucky meatballs. He's got to probably have the graphic up.
Well, what time is these games? I also want to be able to watch some of these, right? I can watch Brian's Florida game. I could watch, obviously, the pro parlay. But
Spain and Belgium are the last two tomorrow. The last two.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow. All right. So I could maybe be up for that.
All right. I do have Belgium. I did take them for you to win it all. So okay. 19-1.
You probably got better than I did. You probably got 16-1, right?
19-1.
19. I only 19. Got 14.
Harry, wow. Are you going to live bet Harry Kane for a Golden Boot?
We'll have to do it maybe Monday.
Oh, I was trying to trick him.
I mean, how is Harry's not going to?
There's no way he's doing this.
It is Michigan, Ohio. I don't get to watch football on Thursday. 50,
Michigan,
50,
Ohio.
I do
that's
not get
Thursday,
to
Harry. It's a whole week here. That's Thursday, and that's a 6 hour
thing. I know, but
thing.
You know.
Yeah. You're going to bet U.S. England on Friday.
If I'm shut down on Thursday, that might just shut me down for the whole weekend. I don't know.
You're going to bet some dumb college game that we haven't talked about on Saturday. You're definitely going to bet a pro game on Sunday. Come on. Enough of it.
Yes.
And you are who you are. That's it. And that's the Thanksgiving message I want to send to everyone. You are who you are. That'll do it. Everyone have a great turkey day. That's another episode of Against All Odds for Mikey Meatballs, Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta. I'm Sal. Sal, saying so long. And happy handicapping. Na 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 na